Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our star this week is Tommy Cook. A contract in any language is a pretty meaningful piece of paper. Pretty interesting sometimes, too, when you read the fine print. Our story this week, Count of Nine, is a story about a boxer who signed a pretty important contract with surprising results. Our story was written by Arthur Tibbles and stars Tommy Cook as Tom Beston. Here now is Act One of Count of Nine.
Once again, folks, bringing you direct from ringside in Pacific City Arena, a full evening of first-class sports and entertainment. A full card of seven fine boxing contests. And now for the third go on tonight's card, a pair of fine middleweight contenders going four rounds. In the white corner, wearing blue trunks, Misty McGivern. The fans sure like that McGivern boy. He's one of the real classy leather punchers of this year, 1926. And McGivern's going tonight against a newcomer here on the coast in the black corner wearing white trunks, Tom Beston. Tom Beston's a Canadian, last just out of the Royal Canadian Navy, middleweight service champion, making his first professional appearance here in Pacific City tonight. He looks like a good boy, Beston does, and maybe a crowd pleaser if he can punch the distance against our own Misty McGivern. But now, while the referee gives the boys their final instructions, right above us in the center of the ring, a toothsome tidbit for all you sports lovers. A welcome word from Itsy Bitsy Peanut Crunch, that toothsome, tanglesome tidbit, that chewy, choppy chunk of pure goodness jam-packed with nuts and nuts and nuts.
Amy, what on earth do you have that radio tuned into? I can hardly hear myself through
the radio. Oh, just station KIP.
It sounded like a prize fight to me. You know, Mrs. Major Prentice is coming by to pick us up for that street meeting at 5th and Main Street. And if she hears two prospective training college cadets listening to a prize fight, well, she already suspects we're not too bright.
It's a boxing contest, not a prize fight. And I know one of the boxers. At least I'm going to meet him.
And then there'll be a great romance between Amy Selfridge and this prize fighter, whatever his name may be. Oh, Amy Selfridge, you're just my best friend and the nicest roommate any girl could want. But my goodness, at times you come up with the weirdest ideas. You're going to meet the prize fighter.
But I am going to meet him. And he's not a prize fighter, he's a boxer. His name is Tom Beston.
And there's Major Prentice. Hear a car horn? Perhaps we should ask the Major to forget all about the meeting at 5th and Main, and the three of us should rush right down and see the prize fight. Come on, Amy. We mustn't keep her waiting.
Just 30 seconds left in round three, and it's Tom Beston all the way. He's pouring in once more. He gets to McGivern with a jolting left and a right. Another stiff right. I tell you, McGivern's getting the biggest jolt of his ring career tonight this minute. Look at that Beston boy go. Well, left to right, he's moving in. He's got McGivern pinned on the ropes in the corner. He's throwing those punches so fast I can't keep track of them anymore. There's the leather flying, and he's going down. McGivern's going down. I'll give you the count as the referee's finger pulls it off. That's two, three. McGivern's not even blinking an eyelid. Five, six. Beston standing easy in a neutral corner. Eight, nine, and the winner, Tom Beston.
Okay, so you win tonight, hands down. You take Fisty McGivern in three rounds. You don't even have to go the distance.
Now, Mr. Brawley, I want to... Well, honestly, I just don't know
what to... Look, kid, knock off the Mr. stuff. See, I'm Bill, honest Bill Brawley, the number one fight manager in the West. Listen, you tie up solid with me, kid, we go places. Here in Pacific City first, then up and down the coast, then back to Chi. After that, can't you hear the crowd in the garden, kid? Me and you for the world championship. Now look here, I'm dead sure of this, see? Right here I got a contract for you, for a guy who just fought his first pro fight. And me? Say, I'm taking you on. What's the matter, kid? Ain't you happy? Make with a smile, boy.
You're more excited than I am, Bill.
That's what I like. You got a cool head, tomboy. We're going places, I tell you.
Bill, you know, I've had a lot of fights in the service.
Yeah, only knocked off a championship.
Yeah, but, well, before I go on home to Vancouver to see my folks, Bill, I thought maybe I'd like to have a few dollars in my pocket.
Couple of crummy bucks like you got for tonight's prelim? We'll have $1,000,000 before we're through. You'll be wearing diamonds, Tom. How much you need, kid? Just name it. Here.
Well, thanks, Bill, but I'll have that money tomorrow.
Ah, 50 clams. Here, take this. Let's see. Here's 50, two 20s, and a 10 to go with it, 100 smackers.
But, Bill, the purse was only 50, and I owe you...
The purse? Who's talking about the purse? Here, I'll poke this 100 into your pocket while you finish dressing.
Well, this is swell of you, Bill, but the 50, I mean... Less what I owe you for being in my corner tonight. That's enough.
Forget it. You're my boy, Tom, and my pal. And with honest Bill Brawley, there ain't nothing too good for a pal, see? So maybe you mosey around the town a little, and tomorrow you pick up some presents to take up north, huh? Real nice, you know, for your ma and pa. You'd like that.
Well, sure, I would.
Well, forget it. And this contract, I'll stick it in my pocket for now. We got plenty of time to work on that, huh, Tom?
Well, there is somebody I'd... kind of like to look up here in Pacific City.
And I'll bet it ain't no buddy boy from the Navy, huh?
As a matter of fact, you're right. She is Canadian.
Yeah, huh? I knew it. Yes, sir. You're a real boy. And an old guy like me keeping you from a date. Oh, no. You keep that dough. You'll need a buck in your pocket.
Well, thanks again, Bill. Now, if I should spend any of the $100, I'll pay you back in the morning.
Over my dead body, you'll pay me back. That 100 may be part of the best investment I ever made. Oh, looks like I got me a champion after all these years. William Brawley Enterprises, Brawley speaking. Okay, so this is just Bill Brawley. Say, sign me up 2 more fights for my new boy. Mine? Are you kidding? I got the contract right here on my desk. Huh? Knocking out Fisty McGivern a fluke in a pig's optic. Now get this. Tom Beston can take your Fisty McGivern anytime, any place, but not for any price. It'll call for some real folding money. Okay, I'll tell you what. I learned they ain't got no main event for the arena Friday p.m. That's right. Kid McKenzie folding on him. Wait a minute. Someone's coming down the hall to see me. Come in.
Oh, if you're busy, Bill, I can come back.
You're my business, kid. Come in. Grab a squat for a sec.
I just want to see you for a minute.
You bet. Just a mo. Get over to the arena, Butch. Make it McGivern and Beston for the main event Friday night, huh? Ah, you look great, tomboy. Hey, you don't even show one mark from that waltz around the canvas with Fisty McGivern last night. Real class in the ring. That's what you got. Real class.
I brought back the $100, Bill.
$100? What $100?
Here. 50, 70, 90, 100.
Huh?
Just as you gave it to me last night. And if it's not too much trouble, maybe we could get that 50 I won last night. Less your share, of course.
Oh, that 100. You mean you never even peeled one frog skin off the roll? What's that chick from north of the border gonna think, kid? You can't stuff the folding green away under a mattress and pound your ear on it. You gotta show the dames a good time. Live it up!
She's a very nice girl, Bill. Amy Selfridge, that's her name. She and her girlfriend Madge are here in Pacific City.
Co-eds, huh? Well, we'll have to do some shopping for a snappy Stutz or maybe a Marmon Roadster. Gotta have a classy car to make a hit with them college gals.
No, they're not college girls. Huh? They both work in some kind of office. But they're really aiming for a career in the Salvation Army. They're going to the training college, and Amy will be an officer one of these days.
Are you a slicker? Two babes from the Sallies. Hey, you're dead serious about these no-dough chicks. I mean, these Salvation Army girls.
Yes. You see, Bill, my folks were Salvationists back in England before they came out to Vancouver.
Oh, sure, kid, sure. That's swell. Never knock no man's religion, never argue politics. That's the kind of a guy I am. More than one buck I've dropped into a tambourine or a Christmas kettle. But, hey, we can pick up that $50 we win last night anytime. Right now, I got this little paper, kind of a contract between you and me.
Just a minute, please, Bill. Hmm? I know there's nothing wrong with that contract. Why, any young fellow like me is lucky to get a high-class manager like you.
You think maybe you won't pull enough dough? Say,
it
listen.
It isn't that.
Well, you got the heart, the style, the old one, too. Hey, did you read the papers this AM? Here, look, Tom, look.
Looks like me. My picture, I mean.
That ain't nothing, but listen to this. Country kid cuts Canadian caper. Fisty McGivern, a canvasback duck, and third stanza. Yes, sir, that's you. You're the winner, all right. And now, you know what I got us? You and Fisty in a big go main event at the arena Friday night. And not for no half C note. This time for a half a G. That's right, boy. 500 of Uncle Sam's prettiest engravings.
It just doesn't make good sense. McGivern knows I can do it again. He knows I won fair and square.
Sure, he knows that. But if you don't give him another whirl in the ring with you, he'll figure Tom Beston stole his bit of glory and wouldn't give him a chance to win it back. You see what I mean, kid?
Yeah, I guess he might feel like
Suppose McGivern had won from you last night and you still thought you were the better man. Wouldn't you want another chance at him?
Maybe you're right, Bill. I suppose I would want another chance.
And if McGivern wouldn't spring with that chance, wouldn't you feel he wasn't shooting square with you?
Yep, I guess I see what you mean, Bill.
Sure you do. You catch in a flash a regular guy like you. So look, here's a contract. Between you and me, it don't mean nothing. Ain't even necessary, but I got to hit the arena. McGivern's manager, the matchmaker, make with the papers, make with the biz. They ask if I got the right. I show them our signed contract. No fuss, no headaches for you. Just leave the paperwork to me. That's my hand. Catch?
I guess that's the manager's part of the job.
Now, this college gal. Excuse me, this little Sally gal. You could maybe use the Alexander Graham Bell and find out if she's busy this afternoon. It's Saturday. She shouldn't be working. Make with renting a car, scram out to the beach for a picnic, huh? Sure, you kids could have a swell time. Just leave the dollar arguing to Bill Brawley, huh? Relax. Have fun.
Rent a car, huh? Get some picnic stuff. Drive out to the beach. I could do that, couldn't I? Wouldn't cost much.
Here, put this $100 back in your pocket, Tom. You need some more. All you got to do is say, Bill, unfold me a handful of lettuce. Just like that.
You think I could rent a car all right? I have my license from British Columbia.
Well, I got a pal in the car rental biz. By the time you hop over there, he'll have a go buggy panting at the curb for you. Now, here. Just take this. I got a pen. Here.
Yeah. I hope this is the right thing for me to do.
I already signed both of them. Now, there. And, there. Well, that does it. You keep your copy, I keep mine, all legal and regular. Now, grab a handful of this hello wire and call the gal. She says, okay, you got nothing to do but enjoy life from here on out, Tom Beston.
So ends Act One of Count of Nine, starring Tommy Cook as Tom Beston. The story we're telling you this week is, with minor variations, a true story. The man we're talking about is now a major in the Salvation Army, in charge of a men's social service center in Pasadena, California. Here's a man who had a fabulous boxing career in front of him, but who found for himself a much more meaningful occupation. A decision of this nature takes a certain amount of courage to realize. And it is precisely this type of courage that makes the Salvation Army the wonderful organization it is. If a job needs doing, the odds against doing it are not important. The job itself is, and that job will be done. Support the Salvation Army all you can. They're working for you. Now, Act Two of Count of Nine, starring Tommy Cook as Tom.
Every day you live, Amy Selfridge, I sometimes think you get sillier and sillier. The two of us going on a beach picnic with a prize fighter.
Oh, stop being a wet blanket, Madge. Tom's only a nice Canadian boy from home, like dozens of others we know.
Tom's no kid. He's 21 years old, a grown-up man.
And just yesterday you said we were both grown-up women because we're 18 years old, so we're all grown-up.
You must admit he is a prize fighter.
Pooh, he did some boxing in the Navy. He was a champion in his division, too.
And what was that you were listening to on the radio? Oh, sure, they try to make it sound nice and sweet and call it a boxing contest. But you know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Madge, if you're not going to wear it, may I borrow that heavy white school sweater of yours?
It's prize fighting. That's what it is.
Or maybe I should wear my tan jacket. It may be windy at the beach, and you'll need your sweater yourself.
I don't think you've heard a single word I've said.
Yes, I did, Madge, dear. Oh, I hope Tom brings heaps of sandwiches and picnic stuff. That ocean breeze will make us all as hungry as bears.
And Tom renting a car, buying picnic stuff. Well, he got the money prize fighting, and I'm not enthusiastic about enjoying even a single afternoon at the beach when the fun's bought with that kind of money.
Madge, you think Tom's nice looking? Not pretty, you know, clean and manly looking.
Mm-hmm. Clean and manly looking. I guess you could say that about some of those gladiators that fought for gold in the old Roman arenas. That doesn't prove anything.
Madge.
Now what?
Oh, that must be Tom. Come on, Madge. We mustn't keep him waiting. He has to pay for that rented car by the hour.
All right, all right. But you sounded as if you were going to ask me something important.
I was going to ask you... Madge, how long do you think you have to know a man before you can truly fall in love with him? Oh, it has been fun, hasn't it, Tom? All afternoon here at the beach, picnic, food, just everything.
Now a few minutes alone for us. Just you and me, while Madge hunts up a few seashells. Fun? I've had the best time. The best time I can ever remember, Amy.
Look at that sky, Tom. Sun coming down over the ocean like a great ball of fire. Pretty soon it'll be dark.
Anything wrong, Amy?
Nothing, except sometimes I'm so glad when things are over, and other times I wish moments could go on forever.
Amy.
Please, Tom, do you mind if we're very serious for a minute?
Of course not. Why?
Tom, what are you going to do now? Not this very minute, but after you go up to see your folks. The rest of your life, I guess I mean.
Nothing very special, I guess. I finished high school. Learned to be a pretty good mechanic in the Navy. Well, maybe working on cars, have a little garage service station. Of course, that would take some capital. But I could get the money for that pretty quick.
It might take quite a while, Tom.
No, not long. None of what my manager, Bill Brawley, says is right.
Boxing. Prize fighting, as Madge calls it.
Boxing, prize fighting, whatever you call it. How else could I make so much so fast?
That's the best you can think of, Tom.
It'll be quick. Maybe I got a good reason to start planning a future now.
Hmm?
What about you, Amy? Are you really serious about becoming a Salvation Army officer?
Why, Tom, I'm surprised at you. You know I'm serious. Madge and I have already been accepted for the next year's class of training, and we're working like beavers to save enough money to see us through. With us, it's a calling, a dedication, something we have to do.
Yeah, but is it always like that? I mean, like Major Prentice and his wife and the Brigadier and Mrs. Watson. You know both of them.
Of course, Tom. And it makes for such wonderful marriages, too. Both with the same interests, work, hopes. That's as it should be.
But, don't you think maybe sometimes young folks who go into officers' training college sort of change their minds?
Amy, Tom, look here. I've got some wonderful seashells.
Remember, that school's not like being locked up forever in a prison where you can't ever leave.
That was really good exercise. That's what you should have been doing, my fine young prize-fighting friend. Tearing up and down that beach, building muscles. And now the place for all this picnic trash is in that waste barrel over there, and the place for the three of us is in that nice little car you rented, Tom, bouncing merrily back to Pacific City. Let's go, kid. Time's a-wasting. I know, Amy. It's Friday night, and...
And 20 after 10.
With Tom down at the arena. Fighting. Prize fighting. Oh, it's all right, honey. Tom's boxing with some delicate little caveman named Fisty McGivern.
I know, Madge.
All right, all right. We might as well both be out of our minds. I'll turn on the radio.
Maybe we've dished out the wrong dope on this Benson kid, but he's not cutting any Canadian capers tonight. Tom's been showing us pretty boxing, a load of nimble footwork, but the old slam-bang, the old 1-2, he just hasn't put his heart into his homework tonight. We'll soon see how Beston carries on. We've had the warning whistle, and the seconds are climbing out of the ring, and there's the bell for round 6.
I'm almost afraid to listen, Madge.
Listen. Maybe you'll learn something.
McGivern comes out of that back corner like a tiger sprung from a catapult. He's across the ring while Beston's still crawling out of his corner.
Oh, turn it off, Madge.
I'll not turn it off. If he can take it, you can take it.
There's something wrong with Beston. McGivern's in there with a looping left to right, another left to 1-2, right on the Canadian boy's jaw. Beston's not covering up. He can't take much more of this punishment. McGivern is hammering Beston back on the ropes. A right cross, a left, and McGivern follows through with another left and another. It's like Beston was off in dreamland, and McGivern throws a beautiful three-punch combination. And Beston's going down, sliding off the ropes, and he's on the deck. The referee motions McGivern to a neutral corner. We'll pick up the count for you. Two, three.
It's my fault, Madge. All my fault.
Four.
I told him I thought fighting was just horrible.
He needed that ring to fight. He can't even do his best at that.
Seven, and Beston's getting up. Eight, he's up on his knees. Nine, Beston's on his feet. The referee takes one fast look at McGivern and motions McGivern back into the fight. This is a new Beston. He's in there punching. They're really going to it. Both in the center of the ring throwing punches like a pair of paddle wheelers in a riverboat race. It's Beston! It's Beston!
Amy, so Tom won that fight last night. You wanted that, didn't you?
No. Yes. I don't know. I guess I did. Yes, I wanted him to win. But,
Amy, you know how I feel about fights. I hate them. But if Tom wants to fight, if that's his choice, well, from what that announcer said, it took Tom a long time to make up his mind.
But that was my fault, what I said to Tom.
A waltzing contest, they call it. Until after McGivern knocked Tom down for the count of nine... He wasn't doing the job he deliberately chose for himself wholeheartedly. You couldn't have any respect for that kind of man. And I don't think Tom is that kind. The way he came back after that count of nine may prove something.
Madge, I've never been so miserable before in my life. I never have.
I know, Amy, I know. But, honey, how much does Tom Beston really mean to you?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, except... I've never felt like this before.
Suppose you gave up the Salvation Army. Suppose you marry Tom, if you really love
but
him.
But I don't want to give up the Salvation. You can't just run out on a calling.
And Tom went on with his fighting. You'd have lots of nights like last night. Fights, and maybe not for a long time. Then Tom would take his beatings. Most all fighters come to that. You'd be a living part of all that. If that's to be your choice.
But if I made that choice, if I loved Tom that much, I could stand it. I'm not a complete coward, Madge.
No. You made your choice, Amy, when you entered Salvation Army work. If you made the wrong choice, or if your heart wasn't sincere, if you didn't have single devotion to God's will...
When I chose the Army, Madge, it was forever. Forever, Madge.
Then dry your tears. And smile a little. Go downstairs and see Tom. He's waiting for you. And remember, Amy, God works in an infinite variety of ways.
Oh, fooling gals. I ain't seen Tom Beston for 3 days. Oh, sure, he's okay. I know, because he phoned me he was working on something for me not to worry. Oh, look, it's sure nice of you two ladies to come down here, but, well, this ain't quite the neighborhood for two nice ones like you, see?
Mr. Brawley, I think perhaps we've seen a lot worse neighborhoods than this in our Salvation Army work. And some folks we've met are nowhere near as nice as you are.
Oh, that's a lot of malarkey. Oh, I ain't such a bad guy, but managing fights is my racket.
We better go, Madge. Perhaps we shouldn't have come here.
Listen, ma'am, I'm mighty proud of you coming, see? I know you're worried about Tom Beston, but that boy's okay. He ain't the kind to ever get into any real trouble.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brawley.
And Miss Selfridge, I don't want to seem like I'm prying, but I'm an old dog who's been kicked around a lot and maybe not too successful, but... I got eyes in my head.
Yes, Mr. Brawley?
Nah, I don't have to ask you right out. I got eyes in my head.
And business, too. Contracts to manage prize fighters. Oh, we have no intention of interfering with your business.
Lady, I got one contract to manage one fighter. But he can be a world's champion.
And a meal ticket for you? A success after...
Yeah, say it. A success for Bill Brawley after 40 years of failure. That's 100%, lady. And the law says, Bill Brawley, you got a contract tonight.
Bill, I'm glad to find you in. I meant to get down here before, but I had some... Amy, Madge, what are you two doing in Bill Brawley's office? Say,
We just happened by. No, we didn't just happen by.
Amy was so worried about you because she hadn't heard from you, couldn't find you.
Oh, I am sorry, Amy, but I had things to do, and I'm not sure yet. Amy, I haven't been making any bargains.
You kids, I gotta ramble down the street for a minute. If you want to use the office, to talk...
Thanks a lot, Mr. Brawley, but Madge and I must go.
Now that we know Tom's all right.
Please, everyone, just a moment now. I came here first to see Bill. I want to get something straight with him. And, Amy, I'd like you to hear it all. It's better that way. And, Madge, I guess I know how you feel, but now, Bill. I talked with the lawyer, Bill.
So?
He says you can't force me to fight.
That's the feed box dope, kid. Straight on the up and up.
All you can do is to keep me from fighting under anyone else's management.
That's the straight stuff. So?
But that wouldn't be fair.
Let Tom recite his piece, miss. Go on, Tom. Like you said, I can't make you fight.
Bill, I signed that contract. So you play square in the management end for the next 3 years, I fight.
And then? After the 3 years? Another contract you got there, huh, kid? Bill can see.
Here, you might call it a contract of the sort.
Let's see. Application for admission to the Officers' Training College of the Salvation Army. You think they'll take you on after 3 years from now? A prize fighter, maybe a bum?
I don't intend to be a bum. Maybe they won't have me. But I'm going to apply for an officership in the Salvation Army. No, not just because of Amy or my folks. Bill, did you ever hear of a guy named Saul? When his whole life changed suddenly on the way to Damascus, and he became Paul? Meanwhile, I made a contract with you, so I'm going to...
Uh-huh. So you did. Hey, they ask a load of questions here, don't they?
Things they have to know.
Uh-huh. Even names of character references. You there, miss...
Me?
Uh-huh. You ain't got no stars in your eyes. Give old Bill Brawley a straight answer. You think the Salvation Army would think much of me as a character reference for this boy?
I'd say that'll depend on how decently you manage Tom Beston.
Uh-huh. Tom, hand me that pen, huh? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'll print it here. Name of character reference. I have to print, because I never did learn to write so good. Yeah, William... Brawley. There.
Bill, do you know...
Listen, kid, the time to do a thing is now. Take this application over to your school, wherever it is.
Bill, you mean it?
And you, Miss Selfridge, you take this. Here.
But this is your contract with Tom.
Yeah, you might like to stuff it away in the family album with your marriage certificate someday.
Mr. Brawley, you really mean this?
Mr. Bill Brawley, I'm going to tell Major Prentice that no man ever had a better character reference than you.
No bargains, Amy.
No bargains, Tom.
All right, the whole lot of you, clear out of here. Bill Brawley's coming off the canvas at the count of nine and starting to hunt for a real champion.
That was the final act of Count of Nine, starring Tommy Cook as Tom Beston. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and has been chosen by the Armed Forces Radio Service for broadcast overseas. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.